This is a reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. You will find it on page 748 in your Pew Bibles. This is the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release them from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our Lord, to comfort all who mourn and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow them on a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, and it's on page 1031 in the Pew Bibles. So that's Luke chapter 4. Starting at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great, thank you. Please keep that Luke reading open. We're going to have a look at that together this morning. We're having a short series in this chapter of Luke. And if you've not been with us, you need to remember that this is after Jesus has been baptized. It's after his temptations. And we're thinking about what has he been prepared for? What is this baptism? What have these temptations prepared Jesus for? What's he about to do? You can imagine different sorts of preparations. Imagine that someone stood here before you and they're clad in protective gear and they've got some big tools. You might think, right, they're preparing to do some sort of cutting or explosive, something or other, something very dramatic. Or you've got someone else here in front of you and they've been preparing themselves by training and they're concentrating on getting just the right food into them. They're looking after their body. You might think, right, they're preparing themselves some sort of race, some sort of athletic or physical activity. What is Jesus being prepared for as he is baptized? As there's an announcement by the Father God, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased," and the Spirit of God descends on him. What is he being prepared for, as we had last week, as he fights off those temptations, as the devil tries to get him to take shortcuts, and he says, "No, you need to stick with God and the Word of God." Well, we might have favourite stories, I guess. You might have a favourite story of Jesus, what he did, or a teaching, a favourite thing that he can do, or for us. The challenge here in this passage this morning, have a look with me at Luke 4 and slow down and hear what Jesus actually says he is about. What has he been prepared for? So we've got this theme: Jesus, the man, the message, and the mission. And the first thing we notice is the message is the main thing. If you look down at verse 14, it said, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News about him spread through the whole countryside, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. His first priority in the power of the Spirit is to teach God's people. And later on in this same chapter, in verse 43, Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So right at the beginning, we might have sort of miracles in mind and all sorts of other things, but we see the importance of good teaching. Jesus knows sort of our feelings and things going on around us, maybe our relationships or the culture where we live. It can distort reality. It can take us away from our Father God and his kingdom. And so we need to hear the truth clearly. In Colossians, it says something similar. The passage is up there on the screen. Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted, built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Continue receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, hearing about him and his mission and his kingdom, so that our feelings, our actions and reactions will become more like what God desires for us. You see, there's no neutral ground from which to work out how to do life. We're either transformed by God's word or we'll be deformed by the world around us. We're either transformed by God's word or we're deformed by the world around us. So we take our teaching and our preparation and our training seriously. We have our Bibles in the pews and we encourage each other to open those up, and at other times as well, to read it for ourselves. So we're not swayed by the bias of the bloke at the front or whoever we're hearing, but we're coming to God by the power of the Spirit. Jesus' priority was preaching. What he was so dramatically prepared for, the main thing, is the message of Jesus and the kingdom of God. So how do you show that you take good biblical teaching seriously? I hope you pray for teachers from the front here, teachers in Sunday school. We think about how we invest in training in the wider church and also with those who are being raised up. We've been helping to support Katie recently, and I hope others will step up and do more training in Bible teaching. Think of how much time the world has to speak to us through the week. We need to combat this by taking time to read for ourselves. There's things on the bookstall, there's others to help us to understand the Bible, to help us hear the voice of God, the Father, revealed most clearly in Jesus, the Word made flesh. Well, Luke could have spent longer on this Galilean springtime. It's wonderful, isn't it? As you look down at verse 14, Jesus is kind of going through Galilee, the whole countryside. He's receiving everyone's praise, verse 15. But Luke zooms in on this particular story he records for us. He shows the gospel. He shows Jesus' message in a nutshell. And he shows what it looks like to accept and then next week to reject it. Imagine the boy from home done good, or the girl from our neighborhood succeeds. We'd be proud of that, wouldn't it? It's always great to know someone involved who's done really well, and we celebrate with them. We all get a bit proud if someone we know achieves fame or glory. Well, in Luke 4, we've got recorded the homecoming of Jesus, the boy done good. He comes back to this little town, Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Verse 22, someone says, I know him. He's Joseph's son. He's returning as a local celebrity. He's achieved fame throughout Galilee, the area around, as a wise and powerful teacher. Imagine you spread your word all around Berkshire, the place is buzzing, and then you come back to White Waltham. It's exciting. Can you imagine the buzz? What will he say? What will he do? He arrives in the synagogue, the local religious teaching place, on the Sabbath, the right day. He sits down, which for us is kind of like standing up, ready to preach. And he reads from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's reading from Isaiah, the prophet, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amazing words. Here's the promise, a wonderful promise of consolation of Israel, promises to fulfill God's kingdom. And he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow! This message about who the man is and what his mission is fulfilled in your hearing. So we're going to take a bit of time to have a look. First of all, the man, who Jesus is. Who is he saying he is when he says, this passage in Isaiah is about me? Well, he says he's a man with a mission. He's anointed by the Spirit for a specific ministry. You'll know in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come at particular times on particular people for particular roles that they had to play or a job they had to do, whether it was a king or a prophet. Now, if we trust in Jesus, we have the Spirit with us always. Although we can pray for particular help by the Spirit for particular things. But Jesus here is claiming to have a particular job. He's chosen, anointed for a purpose. He's a man with a mission. And part of this is proclaiming a new era of release, the year or the season of the Lord's favor. Now, Isaiah was a prophetic figure, and Jesus is saying, look, I'm a prophetic figure. I'm telling you about the arrival of a new era, the end time salvation of God. The picture on the screen comes from Pilgrim's Progress. It's a point when a Christian comes to the cross and his burden, which has been growing, is dropped. It's a release from a burden. This is what Jesus says. I've come to you to proclaim a release. This is the time of the Lord's favor. In the Old Testament, you might know the picture of Jubilee, a wonderful time of debt cancelled, starting afresh, being joyfully free. This is what the prophet promises. This is what Jesus says is now. And Jesus is the one not only who says this has come, but he's the one who will bring it about. He is both prophet and Messiah. Later on next week's passage, we'll see prophets like Elijah and Elisha who could promise these things. But Jesus says, this is what is to come. It's happening now, and it is going to come through me. I will bring it about. And if you heard that Isaiah reading, which Zamri brought us, you might have noticed that Jesus misses a line out. In Isaiah 61, verse 2, it says, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, the Jews would have known this passage really well. They would have been expecting the line, the day of the vengeance of God. And as far as they understood it, as the vindication for them, victory over the Romans, they would have been longing for it. Bring it on. Come on. But Jesus does not mention it. He does not mention God sorting out the enemies. The day of the vengeance of our God, Judgment Day, was yet to come. So the time that we live in now is the year, the season of the Lord's favor. It's when people are being released by coming to faith in Jesus. The day of the vengeance, Judgment Day, is yet to come. So that's who the man is, the one with a mission, proclaiming a new era of release, and being the one who brings about this season of the Lord's favor. The main thing here is his mission. What has he come to do? He's come to bring good news to the poor, the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was anointed to preach good news to the poor. And it has an obvious meaning. The materially poor, those who had struggled in life. Remember, there wasn't sort of the NHS and social care at that time. They would have struggled and relied on others. And this is good news for them. God's care for all people. But often in the Bible, the poor is the poor in spirit. Do you remember when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's for those who realize their need. We cannot do it ourselves. We cannot be self-righteous. We cannot get right with God in ourselves. There's no more pretense. Often the materially poor goes along with this humble spirit. I need help. I need God's help. Often richer people, more self-sufficient. It's harder for them to hear the offer of the cross. Because as we all know, the cross humbles us, doesn't it? If Jesus had to die for me, what trouble am I in? If Jesus had to die for me, what rescue I needed? What price I needed paying for what I've done? It humbles us. We kneel at the cross and we say, God, I'm sorry, please help. But it also raises us up, doesn't it? God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He sent his son into the world to die for you. He paid that price. The poor in spirit are those who realize we needed this rescue and so are lifted up by God. And we see three sort of sorts, classes of these poor who benefit from Jesus' ministry. They're described as captives, blind, and oppressed. Captives. Jesus says, this is good news because I bring freedom for prisoners. In Acts, we actually see real prisoners released from jail. In fact, I think our children have been learning some of these stories up in the treehouse. But again, there's something more going on. How can we be prisoners? Maybe we feel trapped by money and material things. Maybe it's some debt that we feel trapped by. Or it's comparing ourselves to others, jealousy or pride. In Jesus, we can know a new hope, a new perspective. We can know help from others, from our friends. In Jesus, there's freedom and release for the prisoner. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's something you need to pray into. Am I trapped by riches, material things, one way or another? Do I need God's help afresh? Can I tell someone else about that? The next group of... All sorts of different being trapped. Are we trapped by evil, by the works of Satan? Are we feel locked into addictions, trapped in evil circumstances and patterns? Do we know that Jesus offers help, transformation in our lives? This is good news, freedom and release. Is that a situation that you need to pray into this morning? Do you have an addiction, a habit that you're trapped in? Can you tell another Christian friend that they'll help to pray for you? Or are we trapped in guilt, in always being plagued by feeling unworthy, a sort of sense of condemnation, trapped in that fear, if other people really knew what I was like, oh, they'd kick me out, they'd never speak to me again. That's another sort of prison that we can feel ourselves in, isn't it? Do you know the value that God gives you? He made you, he loves you, he's dealt with all those things. He offers release and freedom. Jesus gives good news to the poor in spirit, freedom and release. Or maybe it's something about sensuality, always chasing the next pleasure, the next holiday, the next relationship, the next experience, the next thrill. Always on a cycle, never satisfied. Do you know that Jesus is good news? He brings life and life to the full. Maybe that's you, maybe that's something you need to pray and to be released from. That Jesus can bring freedom and rescue. So that can be a trap, can't it? A prison. Or maybe it's a prison to sort of hatred in our relationships. That relationship that ties you in knots, that always makes you react in the wrong way. That person you really can't get on with. It's that sort of prison we feel we're in. Jesus brings good news of forgiveness. A forgiveness so great for ourselves that it can release us to forgive others. Jesus brings freedom and release. Or maybe there's another sort of prison that you feel yourself in this morning. Do tell someone, come and talk to me at the end, and we can pray together and work out, well, how is Jesus good news? How can he release you from that prison? Jesus is good news. These things are all paid for at the cross, killed, wiped out. God offers us wisdom and strength to help deal with them now. And to all in some sort of prison of sin, the truth of Jesus' ministry is like a verse that we'll sing in our final hymn. It says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Folks, Jesus has come. He proclaims and is the era of the Lord's favor. Do we know this good news? Freedom from whatever prison we find ourselves in. Well, he's freedom from the prisoner. He's recovery of sight for the blind. Again, in the Bible, you'll know there are miracles of healing over blindness. People physically could not see, and then they could see. But also there's the big theme, isn't there? Truth and light, darkness and ignorance or rejection of God's. In Acts 26, Jesus is telling Paul about what his mission is, and he gives it terms similar to this. You are to go and open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, bring them to forgiveness and holiness. As we come to God's word, the message of Jesus, the man and his mission, God's truth sets us free and gives us life and life to the full. Opening our eyes, opening the eyes of non-believer to see Jesus and to see his good news. Seeing ourselves clearly and more of our Father God and his ways and his love in Jesus. He is good news for the poor. He brings recovery of sight for the blind. And he brings release for the oppressed. I couldn't find a more serious picture, so I apologize for the hippo. But it literally means broken in pieces, shattered, crushed. Can see no way out. Actually, this is a reference to an earlier chapter in Isaiah. In Isaiah 58, God says, you should be good news to people. You should be release for the oppressed. But you're not doing it. Israel was not doing it. Instead, he sends his promised one, Jesus, who can truly bring about release for the oppressed. Is there something that you feel crushed by this morning? That problem there seems to be no way out from. That feeling you sometimes get, you feel almost suffocated. I can't catch my breath. I'm desperate, but my own strength is giving out. Might be something in life. It might be some sort of religious burden. I feel like I need to do these things, but there's too much to be doing, and I feel I need to prove myself. A burden. Friends, Jesus comes for you. Let him take the burden. Let him show you a greater perspective. Let him be your strength, your peace, your joy forever. Jesus is good news. He brings the year of the Lord's favor. He brings release for the oppressed. So I hope we're getting an idea of the range of this good news, and we're believing it to be good news this morning. Good news for captives, good news for the blind, good news for the crushed. It's exhilarating, isn't it, to hear Jesus come for these as they are poor in spirit. If you're willing to turn and receive his help freely. The people were amazed, we read in Luke 14, at Jesus' gracious words. I pray we're amazed again this morning. But then one turns to another and says, isn't this just a boy from Nazareth? I know his dad. This can't be the Messiah. And next week we'll see where that leads. But for us this morning, let's think about how do we as Jesus' people, Jesus' church, continue this mission? How do we go to the poor with compassion and good news? For surely Jesus' church is to continue Jesus' mission. So what was the nature of it? It was good news to the poor in spirit, to bring freedom to prisoners, sight to the blind, release for the oppressed, the year of God's favor, calling people to repent and come freely to receive. So are we going out with good news? Do we see what we believe as truly life-changing good news? And are we going to the poor? And as we mentioned earlier, the gospel message is often, it's suited really well to those who are already materially poor because they know they're dependent. They know they need to receive acts of compassion and care. Are we going with these acts of compassion and care to those in our parish, to those we know? How can we discern wise ways of doing this to bring God's good news? What to do, how to be amongst others. And how do we receive this mission? Maybe this morning you're not sure you believe in Jesus, or you're feeling one of these pressures, these prisons, these difficulties, these blindnesses. Do we need to receive this again? Do we need to come as the poor in repentance and faith? We need to receive this good news and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior for ourselves before we can go out. So what's the nature of salvation for ourselves? Well, it's release from doing things our way. It's release from the pressure of the world, pressure from others, pressure from ourselves. It's release. Coming to a Father God who loves us, who made us, who accepts us, who freely gives his Son for us. He releases us from perspectives that chain us and cause us to mistreat others. Repentance means turning from our own ways. It does mean taking responsibility for what we've done, starting with ourselves, laying down our burdens, taking up our crosses, and following where Jesus leads. Jesus, the man, the message, and a mission, bringing in a new era of the Lord's favor before the day of the Lord's vengeance, Judgment Day, comes. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for Jesus. He is such good news. Help us to be poor in spirit, to know that we cannot be good ourselves. Help us to come again and again to your cross in repentance and faith. And then may we be good news to others. May we have news that releases prisoners. May we point to Jesus as being the light of the world. May we seek to carry burdens for others, but most of all to point them to you, to release them, to bring good news in this season of your blessing. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen.